This evening, I want to look at 2 Samuel. If you brought your Bible, you have it on your iPad there or your mobile device, whatever you want to look up, your Bible program there. We're going to be looking at 2 Samuel, and also we're going to be in the Psalms because David, of course, not only has God touched his life and given him a new start, even as a king, and David would go through a lot of stuff before he ended up actually ruling as king. You read about his life and what he had to go through. David, as a worshiper, as someone who loved the Lord, he wrote, you know, you look at the Psalms, he wrote with passion. He wrote about his life. He wrote about his experiences. And when you read the Psalms, they're just really, it's music. You know, it's music to the Lord and his experience with those things. And again, I just can't, you know, think of a better character than David as far as having a second chance, a second opportunity to make things right with God. When I think about 2 Samuel again, where the story, which you're familiar with, where David sins against his own soul by having a relationship with Bathsheba and committing adultery with her and having a child and a few children for that matter, David is going to have his world just completely turned upside down when he's called out for what he's done and how he's really just cut that relationship off with the father. Before that, though, I do want to mention that in Jeremiah, when Jeremiah was thinking about the nation of Israel, God had told him that, I want to speak to you, but he's going to speak to him in a very clean, like a visual way, a clear way, so that Jeremiah could understand what God wanted to do with the nation of Israel. And so God ended up taking Jeremiah, and this picture that Jeremiah sees, he goes down to this potter's house where the potter's making this vase, and as he's making this vase, it's just like he crumbles in his hands, and then God has to show Jeremiah that the potter then takes the pottery and reforms it and makes it for his liking, makes it an entire different vessel. And in that picture, God shows Jeremiah that this is what the nation of Israel will have to go through. He made them to be one way, and because of their failure, and there's a flaw in the pottery, God had to bring them back down to just a lump of clay and start all over again. And so often God has to do that in our life. He has to take our lives and then reform it because we have marred it with sin, or we've done stuff that doesn't represent God correctly. And God has to reshape us to be usable for him. When I first became a Christian, I would often hear other believers, other Christians pray, God, use my life for your glory. And there's nothing wrong with that, but I remember praying that. The funny thing is I was far from being ready. I was far from being used by God. Anybody can be used by God. The true prayer, though, I believe, as you walk with the Lord, is you pray, Lord, make me usable. Make me usable. Because God will use us, without a doubt. I mean, he'll use a donkey, you know what I mean? He'll use a fool, and he does so often. He uses, you know, the strangest things to get his message across to us. But when we pray, God, make me usable, that's a whole different level. That's like saying, God, take my life and mold it and shape it the way that you want to use it for your glory and for your purpose. So Jeremiah has that picture in his mind. Of course, we think about Moses having becoming a man of a second chance and a third, fourth chance as well. But David, near to my heart, and I think of David, one of my favorite characters in the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, if you turn there, you're going to see the beginning of a story that starts out like it's, reminds me as if, you know, he's in a grass field and like the wind's blowing and it's a nice sunny day and, you know, it's a nice spring morning. It's fresh. It's a beautiful day. And then something terrible is going to happen. In 2 Samuel 11, it says that it was springtime and it was that time of year, it says that when kings went out to battle. And as they would go out to battle, it said that David remained in the city of Jerusalem. And he stayed there, of course, doing kingly things that kings can only do. So he was just hanging out, I guess, enjoying the nice day, having some lemonade there on his nice, you know, laying out on his throne there, just enjoying life. And then it so happened, as it says, that David, he arises from his bed and he walks over from the rooftop of his house and he looks down, it says in verse 2, and he sees a woman bathing. And it says this woman was very beautiful. That's what the Bible says. So she was pretty hot. So he checks her out, and he's looking, and he sees her, and he's like, wow, this woman's beautiful. Maybe he's never seen her before, I don't know, but he realizes that this thing, you know, this woman, I'm warning you guys, some of the women that I've known are just things too, so just heads up. Oh, I know, not those kind of women. These are like, this is back in before I became a Christian, so... And they were proud to be that kind of thing. So anyways, going back to our story, you find that I don't want to have any memories of that, you know. So it says that David sent and he asked for one of his servants to go down and inquire of her to find out who she is and get her address and her phone number and all that kind of stuff. And so she does, or his servant does. And David sends messengers down to her and they come back. And of course, they bring her back to David and say, you know, they just introduce David to her. And this is Bathsheba. And he's like, nice to meet you. And they say their hello and all that. And right away, he's just shocked about how beautiful she is. And like anything in life, when you see something that you can't have, he wants her, you know, he wants it. It's like, it's just instantly in his life, it's like, I can't have that. And just because he can't, he's like, I'm going to get that. I'm king. I can have anything I want. I signed the contract. That's what I get right there. So no matter what he wanted. So he's thinking that who's this woman? Of course, he realizes that her husband is one of David's main warriors, one of David's main bodyguards. If you can imagine David having a bodyguard, well, he did actually. And he was a warrior himself, but he had this bodyguard by the name of Uriah, and he was a Hittite, and we know about the Hittite kingdom and how gnarly these guys were and all that, but David realizes that this is Uriah's wife, and so David realizes, well, he's not around, so it says that they were together, they knew each other, and in the Bible, what that means is that they had sex. I just want to tell you, in case you didn't know that, that's what the commentator said. I'm not making this stuff up, but they did. And of course, as they knew each other, according to the Bible, Uriah wasn't coming home. And then all of a sudden she tells David, by the way, David, I'm pregnant. Some time had gone by. And around verse 8, it says that David tells Uriah, or tells his servant to go get Uriah, bring him back home so he can at least be with his wife. And then that way this will be a nice little cover up because I can't do this. I'll be busted for doing this. And of course, I don't know how they kept the secret, especially Bathsheba at this time. You know, I don't know how far along she was or how they were able to tell, but she knew. And of course, David calls for Uriah. Uriah comes home. Interesting thing about Uriah. Uriah comes home and meets David. Of course, he reports to the king. David's like, hey, I've heard you've been doing great things out there, and I want you to stay with your wife. I want you to stay with your wife, and he wants to cover this up. And it says that that night, in verse 9, it says, but Uriah, instead of going home, he slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, of David, and he did not go to his own house. So when he wakes up in the morning, and he tells David, I didn't go to my house. David's like, what? I can't believe it. He's like, you slept on my doorstep of the kingdom. I mean, and David, I'm sure, starting to sweat here. Like, wait a second. This guy's dedicated, but this is a little overboard. So David does something like anybody trying to cover something up, is that it just leads into a bigger lie. It just gets bigger and bigger. And as this thing starts to mount up bigger than David, David says, you know what? I'll get him drunk. You get a man drunk, and then I'll send him home to be with his wife. They will have sex, and then that'll be that. And she'll say, I'm pregnant, and it'll be all covered up. It'll be okay. It'll be all right. And you know what happens? He gets Uriah drunk. Shame on David. He gets him drunk, and the next morning when David comes out to get his newspaper in the morning from his doorstep, he sees Uriah there again. And he doesn't know what to do. Well, he's like beside himself. He has to send Uriah back into the battle, but before he does that, he realizes that he's not going to get away with this that easy. So you know what he does? He sits down and he writes a letter to one of his main commanders as well, Joab. and says, Joab, this is Uriah's death letter, basically. I want you, Joab, to take and put Uriah in the front part of the battle so that when we go to fight or your troops go out to fight in the heat of the battle, he'll be knocked down. He'll die in the line of duty, and that'll be that. It'll be over. It'll be finished. And, of course, my sin will be hidden. That's what David's thinking. So Uriah, being a faithful servant as he was, he doesn't even open the letter. He just takes it to Joab. And as he gets to the front line of the battle, Joab opens it. And I'm sure Joab had a smile on his face. Like, I knew there would be something about David. I'm sure Joab had seen David worship the Lord. He'd been with David from the very beginning. Matter of fact, Joab was such a gnarly guy that he was the one who actually went up inside the cavern to get the city of Jerusalem, and he won it for David. So he was a mighty warrior as well. And he realizes, oh, David's supposed to be this nice, good guy, and now he wants me to take care of his issues, his problems.